ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Colossians chapter 2 this morning, as we continue in our series, we continue the believer's authority. This is the third aspect. By the way, Wednesday service was on learning to pray for our nation. So it's still using our authority to see change in our nation. You can still catch that on the YouTube or the podcast. Praise the Lord. So believer's authority, Colossians chapter 2, and I want to believe that we actually read the book of Ephesians in the course of the week. There are 6 chapters, so what we have done is 1 chapter per day, and then you have the listening thing. We put it on the church group. So in case you have not, because he said, for me to say the same thing to you, over and over again, it's not painful at all. It is safe. So in case you didn't, for one reason or the other, I want you to start. Well, the week starts today, really. Sunday is the beginning of the week. Just start. Monday to Saturday, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, 6 chapters, 6 days, you are through. It will help you to understand the magnitude of this authority that we have in Christ Jesus. And interestingly, the book of Ephesians helps the believer more than every other book in the epistles. They are good, but it helps you to understand all that Jesus has done for us, and it settles us in our faith. We must not be tossed around by every wind of doctrine. And I will say to you in all honesty, because when we begin to preach like this, some people say, oh, are you trying to condemn other people? No, we are not. Everyone is persuaded with what they believe. But the faith that the Bible says to us is like, maybe I will give you a very simple advice today, because that has helped me over this year. If the Bible does not say it, I don't do it. Even if every other person in this room is trying to do that same thing, it has helped me. Because ultimately, when every other person in this room discovered that that's not the best way to live, I would have made progress with my own life. So if it's not in the Bible, no matter who says it, I check it. That's the attitude of the Berean Christians. They went back home. So going back home means diligent study, meditation in the Word. You find out in the course of leading this morning, many people who came up here talks about different translations. What that does for you is that it puts things in a better perspective for you. So the Passion Translation, the Message Translation, the Amplified Classics, the Word, God's Word Translation, NIV, the Old Faithful, KJV, everything. I mean, it's just words. So I put up a post this morning because it really blessed me. One of our leading voice said that in the body of Christ. He said, God's word was spoken before it was written. And it was also written so that it can be spoken. So God's word is alive. He says, so shall my word, Isaiah 55, that has gone out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It shall prosper in the things or where I have sent it to. So God's word is alive. It's alive. It is powerful. It is active. It has gone through the ages. It's still active. active today, we can apply it to our lives. We can apply it to our nation. We can apply it to our families. We can apply it to our walk with God. So if it's not in the Word of God, then the validity of that thing is questionable. And so if it's not in the Word of God, it becomes religion. Because God's commandments are not burdensome. All that we have in Christ Jesus is a complete work. Why am I saying this morning? If we don't also understand the believer's authority, we can give in to error. The truth, I will say to you, because, I mean, these are not strange things to you. You find them on television screens. There is deception going on out there. The deception is this, that there is still, that the redemptive work is not complete. That there is still what you must do. The Bible is so clear about it. If you are still thinking that way, it's like you are nailing Jesus back to the cross. It is a complete work of redemption. Your sins are forgiven. You are an overcomer. You have victory. So, I will explain it very soon. It is legal. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. Jesus came. He died. He was buried, but he resurrected. That's the anchor of our faith. And because he resurrected, he has given us also victory. So when we identify with him, so the legal is settled. Where many people still have challenges is the status, the day-to-day reality of that in their lives. But hey, that you have something to do. And so it can lead you into works. So people are deceived today because they have that mindset. I mean, it's strange when someone who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus is still eating grass. It's strange when someone who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus is still afraid and is hoping to Psalm 35, putting it under his pillow. It's strange. If you put it under the pillow and the word is not in your heart, it's as any other books. It's like meals and bones. So, it is strange today because I hear this, I have conversation with people. If care is not taken, your attention can be taken from the complete work of redemption and be shifted to fasting. And you think it is that. I'm not saying fast. I mean, we do fast every week. But fasting doesn't change what has been written. It helps you to align to what has been written. So if the purpose of fasting is to get yourself aligned with the word of God, then you are on a good thing. But when you begin to hear people that when I fasted for X number of hours or days, that was before you went into fasting, God is God. During your fasting, he's still God. After your fasting, he's still God. There was a friend of mine who used to run around. So he said that one day, he felt that he needed to go somewhere to go and pray. So he packed all his loads and all that. And then he spent hours on that expressway. So when he finally got to the spot that he wanted to pray, he said as soon as he got in there, he knelt down and then he slept off. And then all of his, you know, that kind of sleep that you just wake up. He said, what time is it? It was already 2 a.m. And he said that, but I came here to pray. He said, the Holy Spirit said, your prayer has been answered. Say, no, it can't be answered. You know, sometimes we can get into that. And so he said he started forcing himself to pray. And then from nowhere, mosquitoes started dealing with him. He said he just got to a point where he says, Lord, I'm sorry. And he said from nowhere, mosquito also ceased in his room. And he had to sleep over. And he said the next day, he intended to spend 3 days. And he just packed all his bags and then came back to Lagos. And he entered traffic again, coming back to Lagos. And so when he got back home, I'm just saying, why isn't it? And God says, sit down. Pick your pen. And he started, inspiration came. And he started writing things. And the things now turn out to be the answers. What is the difference? I mean, this is what I learned from. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't want anyone in this room or anyone watching us online, don't fall into wrong hands. People are spending money on a daily basis looking for prayer contractors. People are spending money on a daily basis looking for who to fast for them. People are spending money on a daily basis looking for the word of the Lord. But see, the mindset is, all things are yours in Christ Jesus. So if all things are ours in Christ Jesus, then we must sit down. So in Colossians chapter 2, I think that just blessed someone, but let's start this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Okay, let's pick from verse 6, please. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. When we walk in him, we are rooted and built up in him. And then we are also established. So when we walk in him, what happens is that we are rooted, we are built up as we walk in him, and then we are established in the faith. As you have been taught, abandon in it with thanksgiving. He said, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So our gaze is on Christ. He said, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You know, we started last week by looking at the word authority. And we said authority is the delegated power Jesus has given to his body. The head, Jesus Christ, he triumphed over death. So the body, automatically, whatever benefits the head, benefits the body. What am I saying again? Let me start this morning by saying, faith, our faith walk, is never a ticket to utopia. It is not that when you come into Christ, all problems are solved, and you don't have any need for any problem all the rest of your life. So it's not a ticket to utopia. Challenges actually are part of life, because the world is a broken down system. Challenges do come to us in our families, in our businesses, in our careers, even in our faith walk. Some people just literally struggle for some time in their faith walk before they receive that stability. And where we read this morning, he said, when we walk in him, we are rooted and built up and established in our faith. So, 1 John 5:4 gives us an understanding. So, challenges are part of our Christian experience. He said, for whatever, and that's the difference, whatever is born of God, whatever, This is not heresy, but it simply means peradventure this pulpit has life and can receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Whatever is born of God overcomes. So the word cosmos, the word system, the word structure, the word arrangement, the things that we do to help us run this earth, as it were. He said, if whoever is born of God overcomes. So we are in the world. I will explain certain things about our beliefs later on. So we are of the world, but we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So the difference between a believer who is born of God and a non-believer is that your faith helps you, gives you spiritual resources to make you an overcomer, because Jesus paid the price for us. So faith, our faith, is not a magic wand. Our faith is not a mechanical thing. Our faith is not the panic mode button that we press when we are in trouble. The truth is that for God in his mercy, some of us who don't have a regular prayer life, when trouble hits, you pray, he answers out of his mercy. But that's not the best way to live. Our faith grows by reason of our relationship with the Father. That's how it works. Faith grows when you have a personal relationship. And what is that faith? When you behold his word, you are walking in him, your root is being deepened in him, you begin to see things not the way people see it in the natural. You see it from the perspective of God. You know, one of the things faith does is that, he said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible to him who believes. You know, that belief is that faith, which means overwhelming confidence in the ability of God, in his word. And that's what authority is all about. Whoever gives you authority, what makes that authority valid is the power behind it. And we highlighted it last week. When you move out of this place today, and you see someone in yellow over black pant, and he says like that in front of your car, you stop. Why? He carries, by reason of that uniform, you can see the same man 2 hours, if he's wearing, if he's dressed like I'm dressed. If you do like that, I mean, some of us who don't even have patience, we can think otherwise and just say that he may be one of these boys. And you just run over at that person. But the authority of the Federal Republic of Nigeria is behind that hand that is raised up. And everybody who is still a citizen of Nigeria, or everybody who lives within the territory of Nigeria, must respect that. Because if you do anything to that man, it is you versus the state. Praise the Lord. So faith is not a formula. It's not that panic mode button that we all press. Faith is not the name and claim it fad, but the strength and the quality of our relationship with Father. Faith is walking in intimate fellowship with God. And what is descriptive of our authority in Christ? In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, look at how that works. Luke 10, 19 describes, it said, behold, I give you authority. I give you. I bequeath it to you, because you are members of my body. You are my representative here. So I give you authority to trample. To trample. In other words, to check out. Not just out of your own life, but out of, because human beings are suffering. So I said to people, for us to have full understanding, even the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus, when you look at it, because you're already enjoying the benefit, it is not for you. It is for other people. I give unto you authority. The devil is dealing with people in their families, in their businesses. But when we have the understanding of this authority, we are able to not only exercise it in our own world, we are able to stand to exercise it wherever we see the devil at work. The devil is wicked. In case you don't know, there is a devil. There are demons, there are principalities, there are powers. Something just occurred to me now, and I think I will say it. Maybe it's going to benefit someone here. You know, sometimes at a time in the body of Christ, when people hit in dreams, we say they are demonic. It is demonic. Has it ever occurred to you? The devil can't give food, though. The devil is a killer. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Somebody who is a killer can't give food, not even in the daylight. Talk less of the dream. So just in case you have that mindset and you won't sleep back, you have eaten in your dream. Why don't you sleep back? He set a table before you. Right there in the presence of your enemies. I've seen people, if your house is not tidy, you see cockroach almost every night. You probably see rat almost every night. Some people have been torn into that panic mode. What to do? What to do? What to do? They have come. No. Some people, when they have birds making noise around their house in the night, that's the end of sleep. No. Some people, it's just like the mindset. Some people have. They said when you wake up 12 midnight and you pray certain prayer, that's when the prayer works. Ronnie, you had to have conversation with your father 24-7. 24-7. God doesn't go on holidays. I hope you know that. He who watches over Israel is neither sleep nor slumber. If God will go on holiday, there will be no Nigeria by now. You know, certain things, I think, teachings have helped us and put us in that mode. For example, we live in Africa. Africa believes in protection. And the validity of this protection is that you must hold something. So, as I am this morning, I must have things around my waist for protection. I don't have, is my belt. I don't even have a belt. What you see bulging out here is my power, is my mic. So, because that is the culture, if you see an average mother in Africa, her delay in giving birth to a child, she's doing everything possible to protect that child. So, all those incisions, all those itola, all those, there must just be one Baba somewhere. And so, when people give their heart to Christ, consciously or unconsciously, there must be something. There must be something. A friend of mine shared this story. His sister went visiting, two of his sister went visiting someone one day, and they were in a room, in that person's room, and the person started to manifest. And they were scared stiff. You know that kind of prayer that you pray when you are scared? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. It's because you are fearful. So they were scared stiff. So one of them just remembered that, oh, we have anointing oil. So they stood and did like that to that person, in Jesus' name. And the demons in that person were just licking the anointing oil. So he said his brother was just, and the person, actually, you know, when you enter a room, so the person was standing by the door, so they are trapped in the room. So he said his brother just heard in the name of, so the brother just came and just opened the door. and saw the person and the drama. And he said, I command you in Jesus' name, come out. And the brother turned away and went back. So the person just, and the peace rested. And the person woke up and said, what happened? What is the difference? Understanding the authority that we have. So some of these mindsets really is because we don't understand the authority. The Bible says we are complete in Him. Who is the head? Who is the head? Who is the head? Of all, not some. Of all. You know, this mindset, people just go from places to, I've never seen people who walk in that mindset. They don't have one babalawo. There will always be one baba somewhere. One baba at Kogi, one baba at Oshogbo, one baba at Sungeri. This new one that I've just discovered. But the Bible says we are complete in the one who is the head of all principalities and power. Oh, you said we are in Africa and there is Ogundile. I agree with you. But he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, so you can exercise your authority and you can rise over whatever wrongs in that lineage. You can. You can. He said, when we walk in Him, we are built up, we have root in Him, and then we are established. Can I show you a scripture again this morning? Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. It says, set your mind on things above, not on the things that they have. Verse 3. It says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ, and then in God. So this is me. This is the best way to add. I always like to give this illustration. This is me. So I've died with Christ. I'm risen with Him. That life of God is impacted to my spirit. And if I'm walking in Him, literally what the scripture is saying, my life is hidden in Christ and then Christ in God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if anything is going to attack me, whether it's generational curses, you know, Proverbs 26 verse 2 says, a curse that is costless shall not come. Curses can't rest upon you. That's what one translation says. Unless you deserve them. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, for curse is everyone who hangs on the tree. So in Christ, he said that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile and we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Verse 29 says, we are Abraham's seed, and we are here, joined here. We are here according to the promise of God. So whatever we threaten my life must first touch God and then Jesus. And there is one thing about me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. So it must be a combination of touching the four of us. You know, Paul, we write in many places, he said to make men see the fellowship of this mystery. In fact, the Galatians believers, or the Galatia believers, Galatians, they didn't continue in working in these things. So they went back, which is what is happening to many people. They went back. They went back. And so when they went back, Paul had to write them a letter. He said, oh, ye foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Samuel Ajari Kwada says, Eyala Nironu Ara Galatia. Talofie Didi. We can't move. We are product of His grace. And we must deepen ourselves in our faith, in that grace. There is no other. Many people are being deluded. They are being deranged. They are being deceived. And sometimes those things are magnified above Christ. It's like, this kind of problem. And it's usually testimony. I know somebody. So you have to. The truth is that if you carry that trademark, there's no end to it. There is no end to it. And we must come. The money you should be using to eat and take up care of other people, do it. Don't spend it on people who are trying to bewitch you and derail you. Jesus, I've given you authority. So it means the authority flowed from the head to the body, the church, to tread, in other words, to exercise it on serpents, scorpion, which is a type of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is our great commission. So we are not only to be saved, we are supposed to enjoy this freedom, and then we are supposed to become his ambassadors to set other people free. Mark chapter 16, verses 16 to 20. Mark 16 said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. So we are supposed to cast out demons. Not negotiate with them. Cast them out. They will speak with new tongues. Many believers do. But this aspect of casting out demons, they don't. They are afraid of demons. They are. Many people are afraid of witches and wizards. Who is a witch? A manipulator. That's a witch. Whether he flies or he doesn't fly. Whether he does Boeing 737 or he does Okada. A witch is a witch. A manipulator is a manipulator. So how do you cast them out? You confront them. You ask them to stop in their maneuvers. Said they will take up serpent and they drink anything deadly. It will no by means hurt them. They lay hands on the sick. So out of all this, many people only exercise their authority in the area of speaking in tongues. But even the speaking in tongues, sometimes it's not fluent. Yebe, 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 yebe. 5 years, yebe, 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 yebe. You must graduate. You must grow. You must grow. Jude 20 says, rise up. Charge your spiritual battery. It's a gift of God. You are not going to be doing yebe, yebe in heaven. You will see him as he is. So there are things. Speaking in tongues, casting out demons, laying hands on the sick. I mean, drinking that thing. And said, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 19 and 20. It says, so then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. You see, seated there. You know, if you understand this thing, it also affects your prayer life. When you say, Jesus, come down. He's not coming down. He's seated. The only thing that is here is the Holy Spirit. I mean, people can have supernatural experiences and Jesus appeared to them. I'm not doubting that. But in the scheme and the order of things, the one that is at work in the Godhead on planet Earth today is the Holy Spirit. And they went out and preached. And sometimes that's one of the things. When we don't preach, we won't know how much authority that we have. They preach everywhere. Everywhere means your office, your business place, your neighborhood, that partnership arrangement, that interaction that you have with people. I said, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen means it is done. Signs sealed and delivered. And that's the mandate for the church. 1 John 4:4. Understanding our authority. 1 John 4:4. understanding. He said, you are of God. You are of God. You are of God. Why are you smiling? Maybe that was what you preached in the first service. That's why it's called the gospel. It's the good news. You copied it right. So I don't have to be in the service. You copied it right. So he said, you are of God, little children. You are of God. Please say with me this morning, I am of God. I belong to God. I am a child of God. The devil has no lot in me. The devil doesn't have upper hand over me. I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priesthood. I am God's holy nation. I am the habitation of God by His Spirit. Demonic powers have no place in me. I am not possessed by the devil. I have the mind of Christ. So I am not obsessed in my mind to the devil. I give my mind to Christ. I have the mind of God. I think creatively. I think to create value. Say, so you are of God. You are of God. And then you have overcome them. Who are the them? The devil, principalities, demons. Because why? Can you see? Capital H. There is a personality in you. And you must also be sensitive to that. Some people are not sure. So you hear believers because they are not, they don't understand that. They said, I am confused. That's not, should not be in your syllable. You may be overwhelmed, but you are not confused. Some people will say, oh, my sickness has come. It's not your sickness. Because if you understand it, he took it. And it's not now that he's just thinking about what to do with that migraine headache. I think someone even has a migraine headache. We command it to go in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's not now. He took it. By his stripes, we were healed. And if we were healed, then I am today. Will there be struggles over this thing? Plenty. You have to keep saying it. Keep saying it. Because the devil's attitude is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to destroy our confidence in God. But you have to keep saying it. Keep saying it. I love the way one of our patrons said. He said, it's like we use email now. In those days that we use mail, when you stick a stamp very well, it doesn't matter which part of the world, that letter will get there. It's a matter of time. And if the stamp is not there, the postmaster will even not allow you to leave the location. They write RTS, return to sender. But this one, the word has been released from heaven. It says, so shall my word that has gone out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the purpose. Isaiah 55. It shall accomplish the purpose. So as we go this week, please, let us have the understanding. He said, my people, he didn't say non-believer, my own people, they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Go through the Ephesians. I wish it's just time. My time is up. I wish we can just go. Ephesians. Okay, let's quickly read this as I close. Ephesians chapter 1. From verse 16, Ephesians 1, from verse 16. I quickly read it. I want to add to your assignment. Ephesians 1, it said, I do not cease to give thanks for you. So this is Paul praying for the church. So this is a prayer we can pray for ourselves. We can pray for fellow believers. We can even pray for non-believers. He said, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You see, if you understand this thing, your prayer life changes. You know this prayer that deals with other people, I want them out of our faces? It's not scriptural. This prayer that focuses on give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, it is not scriptural. I hope you are praying for India at the moment. India as a country. I hope you are praying for it. I hope that you are taking time to mention that country, even in your prayers. I hope it's not about the new job, the new houses, the new clothes, the new cars that we desire of him. Indians, they threw out their gods in the last 2 weeks. They threw them out of the street. He said their gods cannot save them from corona. So some of us have taken it upon ourselves to be praying for missionaries who are already there, the spirit of courage to be able to, I mean, that country is just ripe for revival. See, when we understand our authority, so it's too small for us to believe that when you commit to pray, maybe for other nations, God will abandon your own nation. No. No. God has planted us here as watchmen. As watchmen. No matter what people say or say over this nation is the epic, is the hub of revival for Africa. Some of us have seen it long time ago. So it's not what is happening now. Whichever way it goes, the stability of God is in this nation. He said, I do not cease to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayer. Verse 16, go back. Verse 17, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. You know, in James 1, he said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask from God, who gives liberally and does not withhold. He said, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's not the end. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. One translation says, the eyes of your understanding being flooded with light. Light stands for revelation. If you have a revelation of Jesus, what Jesus has done, you will not be afraid of the devil himself. If you have a revelation of what Jesus has done, you will not be feeling insecure that God is about to abandon you or he has already abandoned you. He said that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his inheritance and the saints, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he worked, he's already worked, his complete work. He worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above. Can you see it again? Far above. Far above. You know, sometimes people have this mindset that the devil and God, they are struggling over their soul. No. It's far above. Far above. Far above. Far above. At 45,000 feet above the sea level, you see things as dust. If you are flying in an helicopter, you still see people. But by that, you just see dots. 45,000. It's far above. Far above all, not some, all principalities and power and might and dominion. Whether mommy water or triple water and dominion. Look at it. And every name that is named, Sangoma, Ogbonja, or whatever. Every name that is named, not only in this age, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. I would have given you one more scripture, but maybe I should give you. There's another one running in my mind. It's Philippians. Talking about the name of the day I teach on the name of Jesus, I talked about that. But let's read Colossians chapter 2 from verse 6 in the Message translation. I will read it as an encouragement. Please, Ephesians 1 prayer, pray it for yourself this week. Personalize it. That the eyes of IELTS, my understanding, will be flooded with God's light. He said, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward as you go into this week. Just go ahead with what you have been given. You know, sometimes, maybe the way it is, we have made people also to feel that maybe their salvation experience is not genuine. Sometimes it's like that. And what does it mean to be saved? You believe the Lord Jesus in your heart, and then you confess him with your mouth. There was a preacher once, just give me 5 minutes more. There was a preacher once preaching, and then there is this couple in that church. The husband doesn't come to the church. The husband will usually go and drink, and then he comes to pick his wife. But anytime he comes, wherever he's seated in that auditorium, he begins to, when the preacher is preaching, he begins to make jest. No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. So sometimes, if the alcohol level is high, it scatters seeds. Maybe these days, ushers will take him, but in those days, they just believe that. So, one day he came, and fully loaded. So, the preacher was handing his message, and the preacher said, anyone who wants to give his or her heart to Jesus should come out. And this man stood up and came out. And in those days, you kneel around the altar. And then ushers, everybody, counselor, nobody wants to go and talk to him. So the pastor said, no, come back again and kneel down. The man said he's not coming back. Openly, the man said, come back again. That salvation is not, you have to. The man said, see, he said, preacher, except you don't believe in your message. I heard you said tonight, whoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And my alcohol thing just cleared. He said, so I'm saved. So if somebody will save, and if you know, if you are saved, you know you are saved. I don't know about you. If you are not saved, get saved today so that you can know that you are saved. So, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you have been given. You receive Christ Jesus, the Master, now live in him. Let's go. We are going to the end. You are deeply rooted in him. You are well constructed upon him. And you know we sing the song, my hope is built on nothing else. You know your way around the faith. So some of us can tongue, some of us can do robo, 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 some of us can do shaka, 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 shaka. So you know yourself. Some of us, without opening, you know John 3:16. You know your way around the faith. Now, what you've been taught, the time of school is over. Quit studying the subject, start living it. Walk in love, walk in faith. Pray for your nation. Start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. So sometimes when we are tempted to complain, let's lift up the banner of praise and thanksgiving. He said, watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words. An intellectual double talk. He said, they want to drag you off into an endless argument. I don't have energy for it. If you say Jesus is not Lord, is your cup of tea. That doesn't show that he's not Lord. If you say, I don't believe in God, what has that? I can only tell you about Jesus. But in recent times, I've known that. 2 years ago, I don't believe in God. I asked you the very simple question. Do you have a brain? And please, what is the response? Have you seen your brain before? Does your brain exist? So for the fact that you say you don't believe, you haven't seen your brain, but you believe you have a brain. So if you don't believe in God, it's your cup of tea. But we will persuade all men, that's what Paul said, to believe in this God. But the truth is that you have the will, emotion. That's why everybody in the world is not born again. God, by simple sovereignty power, he can knock on people's head, be born again, be born again, be born again. But he has given us will to make decisions. He said, don't let anyone dazzle you into endless argument that never amount to anything. He said, they spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human being and empty superstition of spirit being. So much of that is on social media today. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in Christ. So you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of this universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. A person who is not saved can't understand it. I don't know how to explain it. I can only explain it based on what the Bible says, but experientially. But I can tell you, when you come to him, peace saturates your heart. When you come to him, hope is rekindled in your heart. When you come to him, faith rises like an edifice in your heart. He said his power extends over everything. He said entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It is not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of law. No, you are already in. You are an insider, not through some secretive initiation, right? But rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it is an initiation ritual you are after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism, going under the water was a barrier of your whole life. And coming up out of that water was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did in Christ. When you were stuck in your whole sin dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. So don't put up with anyone pressuring you into details of diet, worship services, or holidays. All those things were mere shadow cast before what was to come. The substance is Christ. The substance is Christ. That's why Paul, writing to the Hebrews believer later on, Hebrews chapter 12, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Bow down your heads with me this morning. Father, we want to thank you. You want to just go ahead and thank him. Thank him for the complete work of redemption. All things are yours in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul wrote in one place. All things are ours. All things. We have the authority in Christ. We have the dominion.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,